love. The light of victory evolved. In thinking about the word love, it's fun to think of a word that could be utilized to represent each of the initials. In giving a moment of thought to the word love, it's easy to think of the word light and the word victory and the word evolved. Love represents the fulfillment of all the other qualities of God. What is being referred to is specifically the seven synonymous terms. One of the most important words about love to describe and define it is nurturing. We must nurture the quality of intelligence, wisdom, knowing, capacity, capability, functionality, facility, action, performance, which all add up to a measurement of power. And we know that mind is omnipresent. So it is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and it's omni-action. So we must have devoted, consecrated effort to nurturing each of those. And then if we go to the second day of creation, which discusses the term spirit, we know that spirit is flawless, and therefore it is transparent, and therefore reflective. There's nothing that can obstruct the reflection if we're dealing with flawless and transparent. And of course, flawless enables the transparency to be recognized. Soul, of course, is representing spiritual sense, which is spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. And they are defined in Mary Baker Eddy's words on page 222 of the Blue Book, sight being spiritual discernment, hearing spiritual understanding, feeling divine consciousness, smell intuition of character, and taste relish of truth. So when we think of being able to properly identify things, if we want to work our way to love, which is fulfillment of all of the seven, then we need to be thinking of the real spiritual meaning of identification in those terms. Principle, Mary Baker Eddy defines love as being a part of principle. Often she'll say divine principle love. That means the system and structure that is utilized as a part of the function of principle must be with the flavor and the lubricant of love. If we want the structure with the system operating within it to work smoothly, then we have to include the qualities of love in the atmosphere. Life is the next quality, and life basically means to live the qualities of God. In other words, everything we do, we must be doing it with the qualities that are defined in the other six. So we must be intelligent and wise and knowing in what we're doing in every activity we're involved in. We must be always looking at the spiritual nature of it. And if there's no spiritual nature, we need to terminate the activity and start all over. Because nothing is lasting unless it is of the substance of spirit. And everything we identify within our life has to be in accordance with the spiritual senses. If we don't have structure with an operating system our life will be in chaos. So we obviously want to have order in our life, because that will bring us much more pleasant moments than if the structure is missing. We certainly want to make sure we stay on the path of truth. Truth is the function of God, which is like a measurement tool if you're building a house. If you're supposed to be having a wall that is a 90-degree angle to the base, then you've got to make sure that it's not more or less than 90 degrees. It needs to be right on the button. And that will be showing up very, very importantly if we're building a tall building. The thing could come tumbling down if we don't have it right on the button. Consciousness and motive are both very primary qualities of truth. We have to be conscious of what is true in order to make sure that we refute anything that is erroneous. And we want to make sure that our motive is a spiritual motive, in other words, a motive of purity, one that will bless all mankind. The golden rule comes into play right here. It's very easy to remember, but it's difficult to carry out unless we have a pure thought. If we have a pure thought, then it is natural. And of course, love is the seventh one, and we have to love the nurturing. We have to love the tolerance and the thoughtfulness and the kindness. All of the qualities that you think of humanly in love are really divine qualities, because they do not vary. Kindness is always kindness. Gentleness is always gentle. And nothing is permanent unless it's spiritual. So these qualities that are generally expressed in a human way have to be stemming from a spiritual root, a spiritual foundation, a spiritual creative ability. And it's inherent within us because we are an idea of God, and everything about us is a quality of God. And God certainly is a kind and gentle and loving God. Otherwise, we wouldn't want him to be God. We want a God that is our ideal, not one that has flaws. And certainly the real God is perfect. So if we think about nurturing all these qualities that were just mentioned, then we are letting the light of victory evolve within our consciousness. Now, what is the victory? The victory is anything that is unlike the qualities that were just enumerated. So if we have any suggestion that is trying to enter into our thought, we've got to make sure we identify it at the onset of the suggestion so that we can refute it. Because it is a lot easier to rid the erroneous suggestion of any life, truth, or intelligence in it, because it's going to try to get a residence within our consciousness. And if we refuse it at the door and don't let even a single element of it get its little toe into the residence for which the door is supposed to be our protection, then we will be able to progress much more rapidly. Otherwise, we are taking a back step, and we're not going to have the constant compounding of infinite progression working toward concrete being. So we don't want to do any backsliding. We don't even want to have any idle time, because God is a God of action. So God is always moving forward, or rather, we have the opportunity to look forward and gain a better and better forward, upward understanding of God if we are not distracted with suggestions that are going to try to detract us from the truth, from our real being. So we have to make sure that we are consistent, like it states in Isaiah. Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy says, just try to get one little morsel of truth today or in this study session that we didn't have enlightened to us previously. And that adds to our foundation. Then we can really, if we don't do any backsliding, we can really advance in an upward curve as opposed to a straight line and then have a line go down and then we have to do some work to get back even to where we were before we did any backsliding. It's the same thing in investing. It is a whole lot easier to make progress in investing if we do a little bit of profit each day. If we start off with $100 and we make a 10% profit in whatever period of time we're talking about, whether it's a year or whatever, then we have a base of 110. Then if we make another 10% profit, we don't make $10 only as a profit, but we make 11. And the same thing the next year. We're starting with 11 plus 110, so we're 121. So then we make $12.10 profit. So as you can see, only if we are only making $10 profit constantly is it a straight line. But it's a curved line going up if we keep that foundation without doing any backsliding. If we do the backsliding, then we're going to have dips in it. And then who knows what the curve is going to look like. Could be a line that just goes up and down and makes no progress at all. Up 10 one day, and or up 10 one period, and down 10 the next, or down 20. So we want to look for constant progress, and that's what we are talking about when we say love is victory evolved. We have to let it evolve. We have to let it guide us. We have to remind ourselves that we must keep on track. Monitoring progress is a very critical part of spiritual progression. We must have ways we can measure our progress. We can use a database. We can use text files. We can use a diagram, like a map. We can use a worksheet. We can use any number of tools to help us monitor the progress. But we should do it, and it should be a record that we keep, not just something we remember mentally. Because we should review our progress on a consistent basis. It would be good to do it at the end of each day. I keep a schedule of my activities. And at the end of the day, I account for 24 hours. Obviously, part of that is sleeping, but, you know, I keep track of it so that at the end, at midnight every day, I have a completed form that I use to show that I have accounted for all 24 hours. And I also have a percentage calculation so that I can see the percentage of time that I spend on each one of the functions that I'm involved in throughout the day. A very good practitioner said that you must devote at least 5 hours a day to serious study if you want to make good progress. So I'm always watching that column that has to do with serious study And I want to make sure that I get at least 5 hours a day logged to that activity every single day. Now, we have a suggested method of making spiritual progress on our website. So all you have to do is click on the topic that says Heal Everything, and that will give you a detailed recommended method of study. Now, you can't take shortcuts. You can't say, well, I'm going to do this, but not that. If we want to be able to heal everything, we have to be consistent in the way we are approaching our study plan. And we have to keep track of what we're doing so that we can look at it and monitor it to make sure that we're going to be able to meet our goal each day. And believe me, it's a lot better to start than it is to wait and see what time is left over to see if we can do it. Richard Strain is one of the authors on our website, and he was at the bottom of his rope. He was at the end of the rope. He was just going around in circles. He was working 18 hours a day. He wasn't studying at all, because he didn't feel there was time, because he needed 6 hours to rest and eat and so forth and get ready for the next day. He went to see a practitioner about this because he just didn't know what to do. And she flat out told him that if you're not studying 5 hours a day, you're not going to be able to make the progress you need to make. Period. He was sitting there with the practitioner, and he really was confused. He knew he only had 6 hours a day, and she says he had to study 5 hours. And he didn't think it was possible to survive on 1 hour rest a day. But he also knew he had to make a change. He was convinced that he couldn't go to any other kind of a professional that could help him solve his problem unless it was someone that was going to be talking about Christian Science. So he sat there contemplating it for a little while, right there with the practitioner, and he just realized that there was no alternative. He didn't know how he was going to do it, but he knew he had to do it. So he told her. He said, okay, I'm going to do it. He didn't say, I'm going to try it, or do you think it'll work? He said, I'm going to do it. By the end of the week, his schedule had improved so much that he could spend 5 hours a day studying and still had adequate time to rest. And from then, his spiritual progress just made a wonderful upward curve. And he ended up being a popular speaker at a variety of Christian Science churches. He was so inspired with the obstacles he had overcome that that inspiration just flowed out in his talks. And as a result, the audience was always very inspired by hearing him give his story and talk about Christian Science. Anyone can do the same thing. We have the formula. He didn't even have the advantage of what we know about the system of Christian Science that Mary Baker Eddy talks about on page 146 and on page 330. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy says the following. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. What is this system? Well, she doesn't tell us there, But she does give us some very strong clues on page 330. In chapter 10, entitled The Science of Being, there is a section, the last 11 pages, from page 330 to 340 inclusive, which she titles The Platform of Christian Science. And there are 32 numbered paragraphs, and she calls them 32 planks. Imagine a platform that has 32 very strong boards. Those are called planks. And she says on page 330 at the introduction to it, she says, when the 32 planks of the platform is understood and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. You notice how she uses the singular word is. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness. Well, the letter is understanding the text. The spirit is what is our attitude. Are we loving? Are we kind and tender and gentle? Are we following the golden rule? That is the spirit. Are we living the spirit? The Bible tells us that we should pray without ceasing. The only way we can pray without ceasing is if we let the attitude of love permeate every thought, speech, and action all the time. Before we go to sleep at night, we should be thinking about the divine system. We should be thinking about the planks. We should be thinking about the definition of God from page 465 and 587. The definition of good on page 587. The Lord's Prayer, pages 15 and 16 in the chapter on prayer. How about the scientific statement of being on page 468? That is a powerful statement. There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind. The physicists didn't figure that out until around 1900 when they discovered the system that they named quantum physics or quantum mechanics. Basically, two names for the same thing, where they determined that what appears to be matter is really energy that is vibrating at high speed, that makes it look like it's opaque, makes it act like it's opaque. And so they have named that energy that is vibrating at a high rate of speed. Some people call it ether, and they say that permeates the entire universe. There is no empty space, because ether is everywhere. Well, it doesn't matter what a material set of thinking calls it. The point is that God is omnipresent. And of course, that means that God is within consciousness. There are three quotes at the beginning of the textbook. The first one is from Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. And it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free of limitation. Free of anything that is not spiritual. Because matter is limited. Spirit is infinite. So spirit will set us free from the limitation of matter. Anything unlike God is material. Anything godlike is spiritual. The second quote at the beginning of the textbook is from Shakespeare. "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Wow, is that powerful? Our thoughts control our experience. So we need to feed into consciousness spiritual qualities so that when we view anything, we're using our spiritual senses for the identification. And the third one is from Mary Baker Eddy, and she says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." So she's really exclaiming about her success with God. She says, God has heard my prayer. Well, what she really means, I believe, is that God has given us his laws, and those laws are always in operation. And when we are in alignment with those laws, then we will make spiritual progress. And of course, that is glorifying God. And of course, that is exactly the purpose of the laws, so that we will have that line of truth to stick to and be our guide in disciplining our thought, speech, and action. Those three quotes are so important. I recommend not even reading anything out of Science and Health without reading those three short quotes before you begin any other study, and when you end, and in the middle. I mean, you've got to keep these things in your forefront, the forefront of your thought, all the time. They're short, easy to memorize, and you can repeat them to yourself, think about them, or recite them verbally, depending on whether you're in private or whatever. But you can utilize those all day long. No matter what we're doing, we should always be desiring to cultivate the truth, to find it and live by it. Whatever the topic is, it doesn't matter what the topic is. We could be, a 10-year-old out there playing in a softball game at school. Or we could be a rocket scientist. We could be anything. We could be a homemaker. We could be a mother or a father at a PTA meeting. We could be anything in any activity, but we can let those thoughts from those three short quotes be our guide. It's like thinking of one thing that always works, the golden rule. It always works. We would be an excellent Christian Scientist if we did nothing but abide by the golden rule. Now, unfortunately, because we're under the belief of being born in matter and as a result of matter, and that we are strapped our whole life with these different forms of material limitations, we have to constantly remind ourselves that we are not matter, that we were not born from matter or into matter. And we don't go to a particular time in life and peak out and then deteriorate and end up being back to dust. That is not us. That is a false representation of a reflection of God. A reflection of God cannot be any different than the source. And God certainly is not made of dust. God is made of ideas, qualities, the ones in his definition. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the one from 587, God is the great I am, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving and eternal. Principle, mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And the definition of good, which is on the same page, 587, and it is God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And omniscience really means omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. If we think about just the definitions of God and just the scientific statement of being, we have a wonderful reserve of short little quotes that can keep us on track all day long, every day. And it's easily to expand into other things. We highly recommend that someone study and recite the Diapason of Heaven, which is 7 different short treatments. They're like a paragraph long apiece, although the one on love is much longer. We recommend that you learn those, and you can substitute your own words for them. Take a look at them on the website, and you'll see what I mean. They're very easy to understand, and if you recite those, they're very powerful. The 32 planks, starting on page 330, are the same thing. They're short paragraphs. You can memorize those, or you can write them down, or you can record them and play them from your cell phone or whatever you use for communication. We have such a benefit of having all these tools available to us that they didn't have a few decades ago. I remember my first mobile phone I had. I had it in the trunk of my car, and it was, I don't know, probably weighed 20 pounds, and it was about, I think it was around 12 or 15 inches square, and maybe 3, 4, 5 inches high, and I had an antenna on the back of my car, and it was very poor. I would be losing the conversation in the middle of it. The voice was not clear. It was very expensive. I think my first one was, but it was very expensive. And now you can get a Starlink device that is very lightweight, very small. You don't even have to, there's not even any setup to do. You just put it in a place, and you should secure it so the wind doesn't blow it away. But it should be in a place that has a line of sight to the sky. And it's very easy, and it operates all the time everywhere. Or you can use your cell phone, because they have Starlink, they have Tesla phones that operate off of the Starlink system. And you can be anywhere in the world, and as long as you have line of sight, in fact, I'm not even sure you have to have line of sight. I don't know. I don't have one because I can't get them where I am. And they seem to be out of stock a lot because I have friends that have been trying to get them. But anyway, eventually they will be available if you can't get them at the moment. And you basically will have access to the internet 24/7, 365. It doesn't matter if the electricity goes out where you are or not, if you're using a mobile device. Of course, you have to have batteries. Make sure your phone is charged up. So in terms of love, we have to make sure we let it evolve. It has to come from within. And we have to know the benefits are so great that we will not let anything interfere with our being attached to it by knowing that it is a great benefit to be an example of love. There are 2 short sentences at the top of every page of the website. They're in the section up there called the header. So they're on every single page. And they state as follows: life eternal, a life of giving, adds and multiplies, spiritual and good. And the other one is life lost, a life of taking, subtracts and divides, material and evil. There's Christian Science defined. Do we have any idea what the value is of giving and what impact that has on our well-being and on the well-being of all mankind? Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter called Secret to Success. And she said that she discovered that if she only thought, positive, constructive thoughts that she could do instantaneous healing. She says no matter who she's thinking about or what event she's thinking about, she must be thinking only positive, spiritual, constructive thoughts. Period. That's it. And she said when she did this, she could heal anything instantaneously. So she made it a practice to stop, she said, every hour. And she was a very active woman, so I don't know how many hours a day that would be, but probably 18. And she stopped whatever she was doing every hour to make sure that's exactly what the discipline of her thought was accepting and practicing. That's it. Forget about being resentful or thinking ill about anyone whatsoever. It doesn't matter who they are or what they seem to have done. You have to dismiss it. You have to spend your effort, your time, your moment. And you're aware we only have one opportunity to tend to the moment at hand, because time does not stand still. If we don't utilize the time we have at this moment, we have lost it forever. We cannot work twice as hard and make it up, because we could have worked twice as hard anyway and without doing the backsliding. So we would be that much further ahead. If we don't use the moment, it's lost forever. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the main difference between success and failure is how we use our moments. Now, a moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. There's not a number that can express that. You can express infinity in mathematics, but not the minimum. Infinity in mathematics is expressed by a, looks like a figure eight lying on its side. So think about this. If we are giving, we're going to add to the universe of good thoughts. And we're not only going to add to it, we're going to multiply the quantity of whatever is in the universe of thoughts. Why? If someone gives you something, don't you feel guilty that you have received something unless you give something? You don't have to give something back to the individual. If you're inspired to do it, then by all means do it. But when you receive, there is something within us that gives us the nudge that says, you must give. You must give. And everyone that receives something has that same nudge. So if you give something to someone, they're going to want to give also. So you've gone from one, a plus one, to a plus two. That's multiplying. Two new thoughts now added to the universe of goodness. And that person's going to want to give, the recipient of the number two person. And it goes on ad infinitum. Okay, what is an example of infinity in math? 1 divided by 3. It is 0.3333 forever. So yes, Anything that does not have an end to it, such as a whole number, it will definitely go through its series. And if that is a 0.3 or 0.6, then it's going to go on forever. So it's certainly a difference in what the number is, whether it can relate to infinity or not. So easy to add to the universe of good thoughts, and to be sure that it's going to multiply. You could say that even you yourself are encouraged to give again, because you get such a good feeling when you give. It is a fulfilling thought, especially if you can do it anonymously, where they have no way of paying you back, or even don't know who you are, is even better. Sometimes it's better for them to know, for them to have contact, so they can give you what they have inside them to give out, which is probably a big smile. But the idea is you're not wanting to give so that you will get something back, even a smile, even a thank you. Our duty, if we're going to be an image and likeness of God, is not to receive, but it is to give. And it is so important that it gives us life eternal. We always have it with us. It's the opposite of the other one. If we really understand this next one, we will never, ever want to take again. Now, taking is not receiving. Taking is taking without warrant. In other words, it's unwarranted taking. Stealing is taking. Robbing someone of their joy. Suppose someone is very excited about a new idea they have, and you tell them about all the negative things that could possibly make it go wrong. That's taking. You're taking away someone's joy. If you're taking away a quality of God from someone that is desiring and maybe actively expressing it, you're taking. You're absolutely taking. Okay, so the other one is life lost, a life of taking, subtracts and divides material and evil. What is one of the most predominant features of evil? Divide and conquer. We never want to do that. We never even want to think about doing it. Of course, Jesus says that what we think about is the same as doing it. But we don't want to think about it. We don't want to do it. We don't want to encourage anyone else to do it. It's not going to protect us if we convince somebody else to do it. We have a website that has over 1,000 things that someone can view or download or both. Over 1,000. We have 100 authors. Some authors have 20 or 30 or 50. We have one author that has over 100 items. I will make a very sad but true statement. The majority, by far, of the population are takers. Christian Scientists are not any better than anyone else. In fact, they may be worse. As I mentioned, we have a very big, active website. Thousands of people visit our website. We don't sell anything as of now. Everything is free as of now. How many people out of the thousands do you think make donations? How many takers? What percentage of takers are there? And we get compliments from people that tell us that the first thing they do when they get up in the morning is go to our website. They said, I visit it every day, and it's the first thing I look at. We have other ones that say they spend hours on it every day. I don't say anything to anyone, but I got to tell you, the staff of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute are the ones that fund the website. No one, with very few exceptions, donate anything, period. That's it. Nothing. Almost everyone donates nothing. I called up a fellow that I'd known for 20 years. He has a website, Christian Science website. And I said, do you ever go to our website? Like I say, I've known him for 20 years. Do you ever go to our website? Oh, I go there all the time, he said. I've downloaded everything you've got. My wife and I are always listening to something. How much do you think he's donated to our website? My wife and I have downloaded everything and we're always listening to something. We have something turned on all day long. How much do you think he's donated to our website? Take a wild guess. Nothing. As a matter of fact, about 2 weeks after I called him and asked him if he ever visited our website, he called and asked for a donation. He said, I'm having a tough time. Is it possible the Mary Baker Eddy Institute could make a donation to me and my wife? I wonder why. Have you ever thought about your attitude about giving has a direct impact on you? On you? The Bible says we should tithe. Tithe means a tenth part. I look at it as that being an average student. Do you want to be a C student? Well, that's better than a flunk. And better than a failure. If you want to just be a C student, you should be giving away 10% of everything you earn and everything you own. And that includes of 1,440 minutes a day that you get when you wake up in the morning. 144 minutes is only 2 hours and 24 minutes a day. Do you give 2 hours and 24 minutes a day to your community, to someone else in need? How about to yourself? Do you study 2 hours and 24 minutes a day? How do you use your 1,440 minutes a day? I can tell you how I use mine. I've already said. I keep a time log, electronic, on my computer. I can go back any day, tell you how I devoted my time. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Are you subtracting and dividing from the wonderful universe of good thoughts? Or are you adding and multiplying? If there is one thing that will make the difference between whether someone is successful or a failure in any part of their life, and that certainly includes Christian Science healing, that includes your own individual health, it's whether you are a giver or a taker. Period. I can guarantee you that that has a direct impact on your well-being. President Trump wrote a book called Art of the Deal. In it, he states, and if you know anything about him, he's got the first-class properties all over the world. I mean, the finest. If you want to have the finest golf course to play on, if you want to have the finest hotel to stay in, if you want to shop in the finest, highest-class shopping facilities, they've got his name on it. Trump has a worldwide name that is bar none the best, the absolute best. And that's according to how his customers rank him, because they have a ranking service. Now, you're probably familiar with it. That's what these stars are. 1, 2, 3-star, 4, 5-star restaurants, 5-star hotels, whatever. That's what that is. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of them are corrupt. Consumer Reports is corrupt. I was very disappointed when I discovered that. I thought that would be one source that would be honest. But no, they're corrupt. The Red Cross is corrupt. They certainly had a good heart when they were founded. Clara Barton founded the American Red Cross. You can't get any better woman than her. We quote her. We have an article from her on our website. She was interviewed about Mary Baker Eddy. You can read it. We have a button on every page that says Header Index. We had so many things we wanted to alert people about that our header became a very large piece of the real estate of the page. So we changed it to where we just have a button there that says Header Index. And if you click on the Header Index, that will take you to a page that we feel are like the most important topics that you want to know about. So go to the Header Index. There's a button there that says how to heal everything. It's the one I mentioned. How to heal everything. Gives you detailed instructions and we guarantee the results. Because they are based on the last 101 pages of the textbook. Where 85 people were healed of something like 450 or 475 ailments. Everyone had the same result. And we took the method that they used, and these were hand-picked testimonies by Mary Baker Eddy. We took the method that they all used and then we elaborated on it to make it even more effective. Now, most of those were done 125 or more years ago. So they didn't have the tools we have. We have tools that they never even dreamed of that it could exist. Anyway, I don't want to spoil the punchline. You'll have to go and click on the header index and then click on the button that says how to heal everything. Or I think it just says heal everything. And read it. Study it. You will find it very worthwhile your time unless you're already an angel. I mean, maybe you are, but you just don't know it. We're all angels. We just don't all know it. Most of us don't know it, and those that do probably are not humble. We have tools available to us. We should be so grateful. And you should be grateful that I put those two sentences up there on the webpage. It's on every webpage because it's in the header. And I have, in a red background, the words, a life of giving and a life of taking. So your eyes will be attracted to those short words, those short phrases. Read them and weep. Because I'll bet you $10 to one. And I'm not a betting man. You're not going to find me ever in a casino or these online betting facilities or whatever. Although I should have bet on Trump, because in 2016, I knew he would win. I didn't care what the media was saying, because he was bringing forth something that we are all hungry for. Honesty and getting rid of the corruption. And sure enough, he won. It shocked everybody. Didn't shock me. I was expecting it. Because I was so fed up with our government. And I had talked to enough other people that they were too. That even though they wouldn't admit they were going to vote for him, I knew they were going to. So anyway, read it and weep. And you decide. I'm not asking you to give any money to Mary Baker Eddy Institute. If you don't get anything out of the website and you think we're a bunch of trash, I wouldn't give a penny. Whatever you think about us is up to you. Whatever you give is up to you. That's not the purpose of me talking about this. The reason I'm talking about this is we are talking about love and how to make your life effective and use your moments in a productive way. And this is the Christmas season. I'm trying to pass on how you can have the best Christmas you have ever had in your life. As a matter of fact, just in the last couple of days, I did a treatment on exactly that topic, the perfect Christmas. You have to listen to it's an 83-minute recording. You have to listen to it if you're interested. Well, this one is already 58 minutes, so I'm going to have to be bringing it to a close here. Although I have done some that are 2 hours or more, but that's not the intent. It's just the ideas keep flowing, and so I keep talking. But that is the key. Frederick L. Rosen is one of the most successful practitioners that ever existed in the realm of Christian Science. He is a brilliant man. He had a brilliant career. People came from all over the world for his advice on electricity. He was an expert on electricity. And this was 100 years ago when they didn't have airplanes. They didn't have long-distance telephone. They came from all over the world. It might take them 30 days to get there. I mean, I think it was what, two weeks to get from the United States to Europe. He was in the UK. I think it's a 2-week trip to go from the US to Europe. Anyway, yeah, they went from all over the world to him to get solutions on electrical problems that their company couldn't figure out. And of course, the company is, they basically had the money to hire anybody that was in existence, but they couldn't get the solution. So they went to him. This was before he even knew about Christian Science. He was a researcher. He was an extremely intelligent person. And even though he was a student of the Bible, he had never even heard of Christian Science. But when I say he was the best, one of the best practitioners, he discovered how to treat back in time. That means to treat it and make a healing effective prior to him being contacted, requesting him for help in a healing. I bet you've never heard of that before. He discovered it. He discovered how to do it. He did it over 500 times. Over 500 times. That wasn't any luck. He knew the science of it. Just like the healings of Jesus, there was no luck. There was no miracle involved. It's only that whoever thinks it was a miracle didn't have a clue as to how Jesus did it. I know how he did it. Mary Baker Eddy knew how he did it. Frederick L. Rousen knew how he did it. Mary Baker Eddy talks about that. That's what Christian Science is all about. The science of healing that Jesus used. That's what Christian Science is. Einstein studied Christian Science very seriously because his friend Dr. Underwood was on the Atomic Energy Commission, and everyone on that commission passed on from radiation except his friend. And Dr. Underwood, he asked him, he said, well, how did you survive? All your friends, all the other people on the commission expired. Now, why Einstein wasn't on the commission, I don't know. Maybe he realized it was really stupid to try to figure out how to blow up the world with atomic bombs. Maybe that's why he wasn't on it. But he wasn't. And when Dr. Underwood said that I was healed through Christian Science, Einstein changed his direction of thought and activities, and he studied it seriously. He attended church. I'm not recommending that necessarily. I'm just relating to you what he did. He attended church and he went into the Christian Science reading rooms where he could study in quiet. Christian Science is about the science of the Christianity that Jesus used in his life. What's the one thing that Jesus is probably known for, one word, than any other word in the dictionary? What did he do when the soldiers came to arrest him and Peter cut the ear off of one of them? Then he said, well, why don't you cut the other one off? This guy's here to take me in to kill me. What was Jesus' response? He said, put up thy sword, Peter. And he healed his ear. The person that came to arrest him, he healed his ear instantaneously. So what one word do you think describes that? Well, let's say one word that describes his attitude. L-O-V-E. The one word that did the healing is T-R-U-T-H. The one word that is the medicine is M-I-N-D. Remember what Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That's M-I-N-D. So truth is the healer, mind is the medicine, and love is the attitude. Jesus was the greatest example of love that ever was presented on this earth up until the time he was here. No, Mary Baker Eddy was equal. She had people hating her all the time. Back in her day, women couldn't vote. They couldn't own property. And she had almost nothing but men as on her board of directors and running her church. And they didn't like her one bit. There were a few of them that rose above their male ego, but most of them didn't like her one bit. And as soon as she passed on, they took her picture out of her own book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. They took her picture out. You cannot buy one from the mother church that has her picture in it. They were so jealous and envious and resentful about a woman was telling them how to live their life and conduct their business that they took her picture out of her own textbook as soon as she passed on. They had all of the statues. There were statues all over New England about Mary Baker Eddy. They blew them all up. One person, I don't know what he paid for it, but he had a special pyramid built. You know, she was prophesied in the pyramid in Gaza, the Great Pyramid. And someone had a replica of that pyramid built. And it was built from the one single largest piece of Concord of New Hampshire granite that had ever been mined. He had it all done custom. Just getting that moved to its location was, how did they ever do it back in those days? They did it. The board of directors blew that up. And they buried the pieces in multiple locations so it could never be reassembled. You talk about the fear of a man who is supposed to represent courage and strength, and honesty, and life, and protection. Wow. They were the total opposite of what a man should be representing. So she had all this hate pointed toward her, just like Trump. She was another Trump. Everyone hates Trump because Trump is taking down the swamp. Almost everybody is corrupt. They say that something like 97 or 98% of Congress is corrupt. Matt Gaetz got up in Congress. You know, he's a representative. Well, he's resigned now because he has a new assignment with Trump. He got up in Congress. There's 435 people there. And he said, I am the only one in Congress out of 435 that has not taken any money under the table. No one said a thing because they knew it was true. And the ones that talked the loudest about being honorable, a few of them come to mind right now, are just as crooked as the rest. And instead of them taking money, they had the money deposited to their wife's account. To me, that is the most hypocritical, dishonest thing you can do. They knew they were wrong, so they tried to hide it. I think that's all going to come out here because Matt Gaetz is probably going to be a special counsel although they're talking about him being possibly the Speaker of the House, because the one in there that was chosen by Trump has been corrupted. He's probably being blackmailed for one of the three things that was mentioned. I don't know which one. I don't know anything about it. I'm not interested in finding out. All I'm telling you is that our entire government is corrupt. Corrupt. Very few people. Very few. He thinks he's the only one out of 435 that didn't take money under the table. I mean, you know, that's much less than 1%. That's like 0.25%. 0.25 of 1%. You know, out of 400 people, if only one of them out of 400, that's 0.25. And we have 435, so that's like about a 0.24 or 0.23 of 1%. Love. You want to be able to make instantaneous healings? That's one of the reasons why I am talking about love in this recording. That came to me very strongly before I put the microphone on my, you know, I've got a microphone in my headset. Before I put the headset on, that word came to me. I thought to myself, this is almost Christmas and I've got to do another treatment today. What will it be? And I just waited and I listened. And the word love came to me. Didn't have any clue of what I was going to talk about. Everything is extemporaneous on these recordings. When I start, usually I have no idea what kind of words are going to come out. And that's the way you should do it. Well, I don't want to tell you. You have to read How to Heal. How to Heal Everything is the title. Click on the button that says Header Index. And then there will be a button that says Heal Everything. Read it very carefully. And read those two sentences at the top of every web page. You should read it 10 times a day. I mean, you can memorize it in, you know, 30 seconds. Life eternal, a life of giving, adds and multiplies, spiritual and good. Life lost, a life of taking, subtracts and divides, material and evil. I don't know how I can be more clearly than that. I can't state it more clearly than that. That tells it like it is. Jesus told it like it is. Mary Baker Eddy told it like it is. She was such an example of love, they called her mother. Finally, she had them stop doing it. But they did it for years. They called her mother. She was so humble that she would not go to the church that they built that is like a historic monument in Boston. She went there once. She said, oh my goodness, look what they have done. You know what she was thinking? They have made a monument out of matter. That's what she was thinking. They made a monument out of matter. She didn't even want a church. She had a small church that wasn't even a building. They rented buildings. And she closed it down because she could see that a church was not going to be the correct thing to do. Jesus didn't have a church. He didn't have a church. Frederick L. Rosen didn't have a church. He could heal anything. Back in time. Wentworth Winslow didn't have a church. Mary Baker Eddy had it because she felt forced to do it because she realized that if they wanted one so badly, they were not ready to be at the level to realize that a church is not going to be their solution for individual salvation to be worked out. Individual salvation has nothing to do with a building, has nothing to do with the bureaucracy, has nothing to do with having friends that you share things with. It is an individual relationship with God Himself. Period. It is being mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. It is being love. Everything you do is love, an expression of love. It's an expression of intelligence and wisdom and knowing, capacity, capability, creativity. The ever-active action of mind, the purity of spirit, the flawless nature, the transparency of spirit, the spiritual identity of soul, spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, the structure and system of principle, the activity of life, living the qualities of God, the purity of the motive of truth, being without error or mistakes of any kind, and the tender, kind, considerate, compassionate qualities of love. That's the spirit. The letter is understanding the words that you read and understanding the system and how it works together. I've already told you about it. I just didn't say what it was. In other words, when I said you have to be intelligent in living your life, that's using the intelligence of mind and it's using the activity of life. You have to be intelligent in the way you live, in the way you love. No, a sensual love is not the love of God. Sex has nothing to do with love. That is a material passion, a material emotion, has nothing to do with spiritual love. Caring for someone, being willing to do anything for anyone. I think I mentioned the fellow that was so exhausted, maybe it wasn't in this recording, the prior one, but he was a college student and he was exhausted and he didn't get home until midnight and he was just ready to go to bed so badly. And he got a phone call from somebody that had their car broken down that was an hour and a half drive away, which means that he wouldn't get home until at least 3 o'clock because they had to figure out what to do with the car. He asked himself, and if this is repeating, forgive me. He asked himself, what would Jesus do? I'm so tired I can hardly move, but what would Jesus do? He knew what Jesus would do. So he got in his car and went and picked him up and brought him home. Remember, a life of giving is spiritual and good, adds and multiplies to the universe of goodness, and gives you life eternal. A life of taking is life lost, subtracts and divides. It's all material and it's all evil. Now, I didn't make it clear, but receiving something from someone that wants to give you a gift is not taking. That's being gracious about accepting what someone wants to give you. Maybe you did something for them and they wanted to express their appreciation. Or maybe you're living in a home and you just kept your home so perfectly clean and organized, and you have a beautiful lawn, and they live next door to you, and there's other people that live in the area, and they don't take care of their lawns, and they wanted to tell you how much they appreciate how well you take care of your lawn. Who knows? It could be any reason at all, but if somebody wants to give you something from their heart, don't deprive them of that pleasure, that joy. Because the joy you receive when you give is without words. It's beyond vocabulary. I know. I've done it. You've probably done it. It's the greatest feeling you can ever have. Jesus' whole life was giving. Mary Becheretti's whole life was giving. Frederick L. Rawson's whole life was giving. Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, his whole life was giving. Take anything back anytime for any reason. He wants you to be happy. It's different now. He's been gone for decades. And people are dishonest. They were buying a computer and taking it back 3 or 4 years later and buying another one at half the price. So they had to change their policy. Dishonesty does not win for anyone. No, you don't get something for nothing. You're only tricking yourself. You are being evil and deceitful to yourself. You're not honest. I'm going to read to you the diapason of heaven, which is the treatment that Mary Baker Eddy said we should give ourselves on the topic of love. So I will read it to you right now. Now, I will tell you that most of these diapason of heaven treatments by Mary Baker Eddy are only 4 or 5 lines. But this one is about 2 pages long. But I'm going to read it because this whole treatment has been on love. And this is on the website, so you can go through it more slowly and work with it, study it, and so forth at your leisure. But I'm going to just read it from beginning to end. And it's in 3 parts. And the first part is the typical size of what a treatment is on one of the 7 terms. So the first part goes like this. Diapason of heaven, love. Declare often, love is my God, and my God is love. Good is my God, and my good is love. Love is my God, and my love is good. Love is my principle, and my principle is love. Love is the law of my being. Divine love is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. This is the Word of God. Part 2. Mrs. Eddy writes in Miscellaneous Writings, the real Christian scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven. Good is my God. And my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. That's from Miscellaneous 206, line 19. This is the diapason of heaven. We must mentally and orally perpetually repeat, good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. Only as good is enthroned to us do we understand and discern heaven. Good must become subjective in our consciousness. Everything in God's universe is good. The title to this next part is called Subjective Thought. To human belief, these seven synonymous names for God are in the subjective thought of each one of us, but they are being interpreted according to the claim of personal sense and not according to spiritual sense and science. The Bible characters met their adverse circumstances with the holy name for God, which they interpreted according to spiritual sense and revelation. As we seek God in His names scientifically, His healing truth comes to our consciousness in revelation. And this revelation heals the false claim of personal sense. We read in Science and Health 275, line 10, to grasp the reality and order of being in its science, you must begin by reckoning God as the divine principle of all that really is. Spirit, life, truth, love combine as one and are the scriptural names for God. All substance, intelligence, wisdom, being, immortality, cause, and effect belong to God. These are His attributes, the eternal manifestations of the infinite divine principle, love. No wisdom is wise but His wisdom. No truth is true. No love is lovely. No life is life but the divine. No good is but the good God bestows. Part 3. In Genesis we read, God saw the light, that it was good. Then good is light. So if we keep our eyes single to good, our consciousness and whole being will be full of light. So no matter how difficult it may be to declare for light, if we declare for good, we shall have the light. For good is mind and reveals the light that destroys darkness. We must know the utter unreality of the belief of an evil mind. There is no mind to create evil or matter. You must gain the assurance that a good mind is the only mind. This consciousness obtained reflects the Christ consciousness. The 11th chapter of Hebrews assures us that a good mind is the only mind. We must declare good constantly. Mrs. Eddy speaks of the diapason of heaven in these words: good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. That's from Miscellany 206. We must establish good as our mind above everything else. Good is our light, and our light is good. Know that there is just one I or us, and that is God, good, mind. Your identity is the reflection of that one I or us, mind. Hold to that identity. Do not identify yourself with evil or error. Do not claim a so-called material ego which denies good and says, I have no understanding, or I have so little understanding. When you do this, you put understanding away from you. You must rise up and affirm that you do have understanding, light, and infinite goodness. Declare, I have understanding. I have faith. I have spiritual consciousness. I have all there is. There is no consciousness apart from God, and I am at one with God. So, declare for light. Keep your eyes single to good. Man, the spiritual and idea, dwells in light. Mrs. Eddy tells us that the spiritual idea, Christ, dwells forever in the bosom of the Father God, from which it illumines heaven and earth. That's from SNH 334. So your being is filled with light. Claim this, declare this light until all error, darkness disappears. Amen.